Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read
my name, King James Version. Born in 1611, I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. The quote was broke, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, opening Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints. Blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still trying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails, mortars the bomb, seven plagues, seven seals, vultures the swarm, rage in the field, soldiers, storms, the comings, the horns, you've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, bro, it's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff Cincy. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival, I'm here to strengthen God's saints. And the water's vital.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them. I'm the number one selling book of all time, I done made billions. But if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Shalom, good morning. How's everybody doing? If y'all just give me a minute, I'm trying to call in the brother Bada Bob right now. Let me see something.
Thank you for being a friend.
You hear sirens and semis pop. Judah keep vexing Ephraim. When will the envy stop? No love for any cops. That's what got Kenny shot. Y'all drinking Henny shots. I'm investing in penny stock. They give me props. rapping, teaching, debating unity, while Satan trying to weaken the nation. Cops in my community kill us with every opportunity. No justice or peace, the police get immunity. Look, rubber bullets and riot juice when they gear up, asking where the love went, cause judgment is near us. And kids rather pour up a foe and sip the syrup than learn about how the black Moors ruled in Europe. We divided by economic material schism. My people are serial victims of imperialism. I tell the truth in the booth, boy, my pen no lie. They love the Hebrew Israelites after N-O-I. Let's pray. I pray Abba Naba Yahweh rise. I pray for your grace and everything that you shall provide. I pray every day that you teach me how to strive to put my trust in you, cause in you is where the power lies. My people are dead and pumped with formaldehyde. I pray every day no excuses or alibis. I pray that every last one of these cowards die. I pray all of this in the name of Yahweh Shai. Can't feed the flesh, don't need the stress, so I fast and I rest instead. Cold sweats in the bath, trying to grasp as I sat in bed. In my dream I had a twin, he stabbed me to death and fled. Visions of a pale horse and a dragon with seven heads. Vagabond, Babylon, being watched by the Lord. Can't even stop by the store, cause on my block it's a war. Jehovah Witnesses don't even knock at my door, cause they know they false doctrine will get chopped by my sword. Yeah, I'm with the lyrical or the spiritual murder play. I see some ravenous wolves leading the herd astray. My homie's mom's a tweaker, I watch him survey. I'm numb to this game and the pain, I'm an invertebrate. When the Messiah comes, serve, we gon' witness the sun purge. He coming back to judge every idle and dumb word. My team always moving in silence, we unheard. The elite wanna converge on the elect and the one-third. I pray, Abba Naba Yahweh rise. I pray for your grace and everything that you shall provide. I pray every day that you teach me how to strive to put my trust in you, cause in you is where the power lies. My people are dead and pumped with formaldehyde. I pray every day no excuses or alibis. I pray that every last one of these cowards die. I pray all of this in the name of Yahweh Shai.
I pray you sing to the Lord a new song. Sing praise in the assembly of the righteous. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praise of God be on the mouths of the saints, and a two-edged sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the demonic nations and punishment on those people. Divide their kings with chains.
If only I could spread my wings and fly away, I'd escape this place right away and be gone, vanished without a trace. That's where I stay. It ain't safe for kids to go out and play. No matter if it's night or day, you can be hit by a stray. So every morning when I awake, I pray for a brighter day. Don't know how much more darkness my eyes can take. Criminals populate the city, crime is at its highest rate. Growing up, I was surrounded by a lot of hate. Through the tribulations, I acknowledge that your hour is great. Can't wait till he send his son to deliver us up out this place. Babylon the Great, better known as the United States, the place that was built off of oppressing an entire race. But when them tribes awake, we about this place. Every nation under the sun gonna be more shook than a violent quake. Let's get it right, Jake, so we can take our rightful place. The 12 gates reserved for us, our paradise awaits.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Shalom and good morning. All right, we are ready to get this started now. We're ready to get this underway. Again, to watch for tuning in, if you're happy to tune in for the first time, or if you listen to one of the archive shows, thank you for listening in. As you might see from the title, if you got one of my, from the text bomb that was sent out, this is show episode number 953, y'all. This is show episode number 953 that we've been doing this. Let me pull that up real quick. I will. Thinking about doing that, but since we're here, you know, I'm sometimes I can be very spontaneous, which can be frustrating to some people. But this is show number 953, and let me see here. Right, 953, and let me do it like this. I'm on our information page. Yeah, Brendan says our very first episode, our very first show that we did was March 22nd, 2010. Believe it or not, March 22nd, 2010. So We've been doing the Block Talk shit now for over 10 years now. What's that now? 2010 to 2010. That's 10 years. This is 21. Past, we're about to come to 22. So March 22nd, 2022, will be our 12 years that we've been doing the Blog Talk. All right? And I'm trying to time it so that that's going to be our anniversary also. Not only will it be our 12-year anniversary, you know, going the 12 being synonymous and being good with the 12 tribes of Israel that we've been doing that like for 12 years, we're trying to make that our episode number 1,000. All right, our episode number 1,000 being around March 22nd, 2022. Wow. Never thought I'd last that long. Speaking of that, brothers and sisters, that's going to be right around the time of our next High Holy Day. The next High Holy Day we have coming up will be Monday, March 14th, 2021, which will actually be Passover. Not Passover, it will be Purim, forgive me. Monday, March 14th, at sunset, we will be beginning the Hebrew holiday of Purim. All right, and with and classes and shows to come, we'll be covering what Purim is and the importance of it, as well as a reminder that Thursday, April 14th, is the official beginning of Passover at sunset. Thursday, April 14th, 2022, will it be the official beginning of Passover. Right, and from what I'm hearing, the camps in Houston, the ISBHPK camp in Houston, will be hosting Passover this year. If you'd like to join us there, as you know, ISBHPK branches being in Houston, Northern Virginia, Rochester, New York, San Antonio, Texas, and even Albuquerque, New Mexico, that we'll be doing our gathering for the Passover this year in Houston. And most likely it'll be on Easter Sunday, only because for the businesses that everybody owns and wanting to congregate as much as possible. We know the official beginning of Passover, if I could kind of break this down a little bit, the official beginning of Passover is actually on a Thursday at sunset. And we know a lot of people just work just for the sake of being at work. So if not being able to get off on that day in order to congregate and have the dinner where we actually able to come together and feast. We'd like to recognize that being the beginning of Passover, where families can just do an individual meal, a lamb meal or what have you, with the herbs or whatever, on that particular day, and recognizing the beginning of the Sabbath, beginning of the Passover, but to actually congregate, where we actually come together and can get as many people together as possible while we're still in captivity. Usually we have it on that Sunday, what they so-called Easter Sunday, not in recognition of Easter, not in recognition of Astarte, the Syrian goddess, but that it's the day that everything shuts down so that it'd be more convenient for everybody to be able to come together on that Sunday. So details to follow, but yeah, the Passover this year, ISBHPK, the camps will be unifying and coming together in Houston for the Passover this year. And again, as you listen to my show, Bada Bada show or Tazpa show, we'll get more details on that so we can fill everybody in so we make that happen and pleasing and understand the will of the Most High that it is about us gathering together. It is about Israel gathering together, unifying in these last days. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, and this is about every class I've done for this going on the past 12 years now, almost 12 years, is Zephaniah 2:1. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation that desire. Before the decree brings forth, before the day passes the shaft, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, that it's imperative for us as Israelites to really gather together. Not only for, I mean just for the days to come, that it's going to get worse for us. Things are going to get bad. The trouble of Jacob is really about to hit us pretty hard as it's becoming more and more evident that this last kingdom, this fourth kingdom of Daniel, the end of the Roman Empire, is coming to an end. The overthrow of this empire is coming to an end. And the beginning of Christ's kingdom, the beginning of the kingdom of Israel, and Christ's reign forever is fast and rapidly approaching, that like the scripture tells in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, that confirming the souls of the disciples, and that we must through much tribulation enter to the kingdom of heaven, which many of us are starting to experience now. Most of it is trying to get us tempered as one of the fruits of the Spirit, trying to get us tempered and getting ready for the things to come, trying to prepare our spirits and our minds for the things to come that are going to be, it's going to be days like the trouble that's going to come had never been like this on the planet Earth ever before. You know, the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, it fully confirms that in prophesying, letting us know that it says the devil's going to come down upon you, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, that the devil's going to come down upon us having great wrath. One, because he knows that he has a little bit of time, and that his war is going to be against those who keep the commandments of the Father. And we understand those that keep the commandments of the Father understand about the loving of one another, the care we have, the charity we have, the patience and the faith that we express and share with one another, and enduring and persevering and not becoming weary in well-doing, that these type of things are going to be attacked against those human commandments, those waiting for the Most High Christ. So you can get a feeling of hopelessness, a feeling of loss, a feeling of powerlessness, a feeling of despair, just to be honest. Paul tried to teach us about these things. Peter was showing us these things. Christ talked about, you know, if you're following me, these are things I must go through so that others might have life. Now, if you're my disciple, you're my student, you're following me, you go through similar things. And that's one thing that confirms us. So, again, like I said in Acts 14:22, it tells us, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of heaven. So that this is what, brothers and sisters, these are some of the things that we can see through the mercy of the Most High, and Him trying to prepare us, Him trying to get us ready for, as we go through some of the trials and tribulations, as we go through a lot of the afflictions that we go through, that really in the Most High's plan, this is Him just trying to get us ready to be able to handle what is to come. And that is truly is where His mercy is at, because a lot of people are not getting this training. A lot of people are not getting this type of training and experiences to experience just how the Most High works, to experience just how what kind of decisions to make in the fire, what kind of decisions to make when you're up against the wall, what kind of decisions to make when you're really feeling it, that this really is the mercy of the Most High. I remember Hebrews 5:12. Moses says that He only chastises the ones He loves, that He's only getting those ready, the ones that He cares about, and getting our spirits ready for the trials, tribulations, for the afflictions, the major warfare. And it's already bad for us enough as it is. I can't even say that, really, can I? Things are bad right now. Things are definitely bad, but it's going to get worse. I hate being the prophet of doom. I hate being a prophet it's always about destruction, always about something bad happening. But the truth of the matter is, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Now, if you go back and study history, biblical history, things were bad for us in ancient Egypt. For the Hebrew Israelites, things were bad for us. It says that once Joseph had finally died, and that generation had passed, and that the new Pharaoh had risen up, that the servitude, the hard bondage, the rigor that we were made to serve with in ancient Egypt, that it made us cry out about all the injustices that were taking place, all the cruelty that was taking place, the hard bondage that we was under, that it was already severe, that we was crying to the Most High, praying to the Most High for deliverance, for salvation. And then finally, He brought upon Moses, and upon bringing Moses and giving us the knowledge of salvation, that it wasn't still another 40 years until after Moses was actually born. Moses was born, and then, you know, he slew the Egyptian that was slaying one of his Hebrew brothers, and he went into exile for another 40 years. So it went until Moses was 80. for 80 years that we kind of knew or was waiting for or looking for a deliverer, but for 80 years from the time he was born, we was there. Then once he finally came back to Egypt, after Mosai revealed himself to him, after his exile and brought him back to appear to him on the Mount Sinai in the burning bush, and that Moses actually came back to and give knowledge of salvation to us, to the Hebrew Israelites, that's when we read about from Exodus chapter 2, things got bad. Exodus chapter 4, it got even worse. That when Pharaoh understood that the Most High wanted to save his people, that the conditions that he put us through, things didn't get easier for us. Things got harder for us. Things got worse for us. The burdens just the cost of daily living, the cost of living in Egypt got worse for us after Moses brought the knowledge of salvation. But the Most High did it that way to make us really appreciate his deliverance, to really make us appreciate his miracles, really make us appreciate the things that he was doing for us with the 10 plagues that came to Egypt. And finally, the deliverance came. But even at the time of the deliverance, before we got to the Red Sea, I remember that the Egyptian army was fast after us. The Egyptian army was fast after us and wanted to really destroy us. After Pharaoh, after the Passover night, when the firstborn of all, every Egyptian was put to slain and put to death, whether it was in a household, including any herd, any cattle, any you had, whatever was firstborn was dead. From Pharaoh's son to Pharaoh's favorite horse or whatever it might have been, the firstborn was all dead. And being distraught, Pharaoh released us to come serve the Most High. But then his anger and willful revenge consumed him, and the army chased after us and trapped us at the Red Sea. So we had the Red Sea before us, and we had the Egyptian army behind us ready to slay us, ready to do us in. And we saw no way out. We saw no escape. We saw no salvation. And to where we was doubting Moses, like, even though we just got finished witnessing all the miracles and plagues that the Most High brought to Egypt and showing his power, that we were, like, very doubtful, like, why are we even trying to attempt this? The thought of regret, why do we even want liberty? We should just stay here and be content, because now we're about to be put to death by the Egyptians because we got nowhere to go. We're at the Red Sea. And it was then at the last minute, last night, as a matter of fact, that the Most High had opened up the path through the Red Sea for its crossover. But it was at the last minute, you know. If you was watching a movie, Matrix type of exit, you're in the phone booth and the trash truck is coming, and you got that millisecond to make the phone call and make the escape. That the Most High appeared and showed his way at the very last minute, but it took us to that point of getting to the edge. It took us to that point of there's no way out. It took us to that point of there's no what we're going to do. Of the extreme panic, extreme anxiety, extreme fear, doubt, that according to what we see, according to what I'm seeing with my eyes, there's no way out, and we're about to face total destruction. We're about to face total annihilation as far as men, our families, our wives, our children, our families being decimated by the Egyptian army. But at the last minute, the Most High went and opened a way through the Red Sea. Then he brought us through the Red Sea, consumed the Egyptian army, and then we get across the other side. We're celebrating. The Most High is the greatest, and it's a great victory that the Most High gave us, that the Most High invoked for us. And then 3 days later, we get to the Mount Sinai, and we go up to make the covenant with the Most High. We made the covenant with the Most High, and then that's when Moses was gone for the first 40 days, and we decided to make a calf, a golden calf. I'm saying that this is who brought us out of Egypt. We're going to worship this golden calf that we made. And it's been that cycle with us ever since. But the point of me just even bringing that issue out was for the point of Even similarly, in this Egypt, it's going to be the same. The scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 11, most stuff requires that which is past, that there's nothing new under the sun. And then Romans 15 and 4, that things written aforetime were written for our learning, that for the things that our foreparents did go through, for the things that is recorded in the scriptures, it really truly is for our learning. And let me check something here. I really do hope I'm still broadcasting. That would really suck if after all this time I'm not broadcasting. I'm looking on the phone says I'm still on because I'm looking at the website, the blog talk. But this is going to really be painful if I'm not broadcasting. All right, cool. It says I'm already in a call. Okay, so with all that being said, everybody give me just 1 minute. I'll do another musical interlude, and I'm going to try and raise up the brother Bonabod, who I've been with in this work, in this walk, this journey at Hebrew Israelites for the past going on 30 years. Like going on 30 years that the Most High has joined us, and it's been hell and high water. It's been a lot of hatred and forgiveness and mercy, and having to come back and reify the scriptures. We have to reify ourselves, and keeping this thing going. And I really do appreciate him as well as many other brothers and sisters out here. But we've been in this walk. I've been close to him in this walk the longest through with any other person I've been with. And again, it's not been easy. It has not been easy, but let me go ahead and get this brother on the line real quick. I'm going to just play a little music interlude. Let me see here. The first song that we opened up today with was Sons of Jacob, the Bible. They were out of Cali from way back in the day. Then the second song, the introduction song we played was Deacon Sakari. I pray. Kari Camp with Mashua Yeshua Allah. And let me go ahead and go with choices. All right, everybody, give me 1 second. Is that going
to be the righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath.
Frank Lucas.
You an African American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' say it?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah. They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge count?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do you follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Devil gon' win.
Nope.
Tryna make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices.
I'm
choose the right path.
Hey,
Mishaba. Everybody got choices.
Yes, sir.
Righteous life.
I'm still driving to get over there, but it's okay. I gotta get on. I'm on listed, and I'm gonna be interacting to get my scriptures ready. All right.
All right, Con. Okay, man.
The show goes on, baby. The show goes on.
If you put yourself on mute, then, and then whenever you're ready, just take yourself off mute. It'll be easier that way.
All right, sounds good. Okay, I'm here.
Cool. Okay, so as I was saying, again, Passover this year is going to be April, what did I just say? Again, Passover this year is going to be Thursday, April 14th, 2022, at sunset. That will be the first day of Passover this year, all right? So just to go ahead and put that reminder out that, again, in the same way Moses delivered us out of ancient Egypt, he's going to deliver us out of this current Egypt. And that's why it's important that we study. It's why it's important that you find a council of brothers, sisters, and families that are godly, all right? That you know, one of the things I was trying to drive in one of my classes beyond the Zephaniah 2:1 is which wisdom are you using? That when we actually get into the Bible, you have there's a worldly wisdom and there's a godly wisdom. And are you sure that you're really being guided, directed, and making your decisions based off of godly wisdom as opposed to worldly wisdom? We know that when it talks about the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the Most High, he says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That when you fear the Lord, and I know a lot of people say that, no, you're not supposed to be afraid of God. You're not supposed to be afraid of a parent. But fear, I'm not taking it to that extreme, even though it can definitely be applied. But for the sake of not just trying to get into an argument so that we lose the point about fear, what fear is about, there's supposed to be a respect of God that if you don't do what he does, that there's a fear of the consequences of not doing things the right way, a fear of I'm not going to make the right choice when it comes to pleasing God. And one scripture that we really push, especially up in Albuquerque with the men and the families that we're dealing with in Albuquerque, is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, which tells us that when a man's ways please the Lord, he will make his enemy to be at peace with him. That for as much as you know, we're getting a business underway in Albuquerque, trying to provide for the brothers and sisters there in Albuquerque and trying to provide and build something that can be taken across the country to help out many families, that as much as the pressure from bosses can come, and not just in us putting a business together, as we're dealing right now with this pandemic that's going across the world, this COVID thing, and now the next COVID strain is an outbreak is taking place. That and the mandates, they're trying to go ahead and mandate that everybody, if you want to work, travel, or do anything, you got to take the COVID vaccinations in the name of the fear of the safety for America. And if you're not going to take the COVID, the vaccination, to the point where you're not going to be hired at a job, they're going to let you go, being suspended from a job or what have you, until you submit to the ramifications, or not even ramifications. You submit to you're going to take the COVID vaccination. And the one thing we, again, really encourage, if you don't have to take the COVID, don't. The COVID the vaccination, don't. But if you do, remember, the more important fact is, are you doing the things that please the Father? And one thing I try to remind everybody of, and I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes as far as their experience with COVID, experience anybody who's died from COVID, I'm not trying to make light of that in any type of way, because it's all still going according to the Most High's will. What I want to bring out is, remember, if it's not the Most High's will for you to pass away, remember, the issues of death, Psalm chapter 16, verse 19, belong to the Most High. That you can make all the preparation in the world, but if the Most High, if it's your time to please the Father, and he wants the spirit that he put inside of you to come back to him, there's no war. There's no winning that war. When he wants his spirit back that he put inside your body, there's no winning that war. You're not going to be able to fight with God and extend that. There's just no preparation that's going to happen. It's just there's nothing you're going to be able to do. And that's not to say not to make any preparations. That's not to say not to take care of your health, get healthy, make whatever lifestyle adjustments you need to make. But in the end, I want to remind everybody, remember, Paul got bit by an asp, venomous snakes in the Mediterranean. And everybody that saw it happen, after being shipwrecked, and the people that were there with him that survived and made it to shore, as he was helping build the fire, a servant of God, the servant of the Most High, got bit by an asp. And everybody just kind of stood back waiting to see him die. And because he was doing the work of the Most High, because he was in, and his mind was committed to the work of the Most High, the poison of the ass didn't bite him. Now, I'm not saying go out and be like we see some of these so-called white Christian churches. I'm sure there's some black ones out there also. They go out there and they purposely get rattlesnakes, and they purposely get scorpions, and they purposely get tarantulas, and they be doing the Holy Ghost dance and Holy Spirit activate type of voodoo type of hysteria. I'm not saying go out like that, but because Paul's mind and was committed to, and he's actually doing the work of the Most High, when an actual venomous ass bit him on the hand, the scripture tells that he shook it off and kept going. And when everybody thought by now he should die, he was still doing the work of the Father. Still, he was still teaching. He was still prophesying. He was still caring for people. And so the Most High didn't take him in the midst of all that. For Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den twice, that because he was committed to the work of the Most High, not just his own self-preservation, but to the work of the Most High, he was saved from that tribulation. The three holy children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being thrown in the fire, that the fire was so hot that it consumed the men that threw them in. That's how hot it was, that the Most High Christ was actually walking with them in the fire. That, and yes, their enemies threw them in the fire. Their captors, their jailers, the bailiffs, whatever word you want to use, soldiers, threw them in, and they were consumed by the fire, but the three holy children were not. And it took them to the point of death. It took them to that point of being tested. So, what I'm trying to convey, I'm not saying that we need to go throw ourselves in fire. I'm not saying that we need to go and purposefully tempt God and go dance with snakes and catch rattlesnakes so we can prove that God is with us and whatever. I'm not even trying to take it there at all. If we look at what brought these men and these families through what they went through, it was they were committed to the work of the Most High. It was committed to making sure God's word was getting out. And I know there's a lot of debate and a lot of different teachings of people that say that nobody kind of understands what the work of the Most High is. For one person, the work of the Most High might be this. For another person, the work of the Most High might be this. I'm not going to deny that at all. One thing we do teach is I'm a believer in this, in this aspect of what I'm about to bring out. If you have to use scriptures every day to motivate yourself, to accomplish it, to get something done, you're doing the work of the Most High. That you're having to use the Most High's instructions. If it becomes every day to get you out of bed, it becomes every day to push past a tiredness, an ailment, a laziness, a slothfulness, a hatred, a grudge, and you have to use scriptures to help push you past those feelings, then you're doing the work of the Most High, because it's the Most High's word. You have to actually use and apply the Most High's word. If you're not having to apply a scripture, consciously apply a scripture every day or within the work you're doing, there's no way you're doing the work of the Most High. That's just that's my own personal opinion. And there's many, many different teachers with many different experiences that bring out what they believe the work of the Most High is. But for me and my experience, if you don't have to use a scripture every day to motivate you, and because I look at what different people get motivated by, some people get motivated by many different things, but they don't have to use a scripture to push them past the tribulation, the problems, the issues, the tribulation. They use many different other things to motivate them to work, to motivate them to accomplish, to motivate them to do. And I honestly can't say that, because they're motivated that's God. Even though they might get to the Grammy stage, we use rappers and entertainers all the time, that you just made a movie about, Denzel Washington, his first Academy Award for Best Actor in Training Day, that you portrayed a corrupt cop that killed people, that committed extortion, You was just really a ruthless, cruel guy. That's the character you portrayed. You portrayed that so well, you got an Academy Award with it. Now come back and say you want to thank God for the opportunity. That if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to do what you were doing and giving this portrayal. That to me is not the work of God, that you portrayed such an evil, corrupt person. There's no way, that there's no scripture that had to be used to do that. That was something that Denzel, you did marvelous. I thought you did a better job in Glory, or a better job in the portrayal of Malcolm X, me personally. But that was just your crap. That was just a job. You just went to work, and your chosen line of work. But when it came to getting the award, I was saying, well, I want to go ahead and thank God for opportunity and for what he's done, providing the whatever directors, whatever. I can't see how that's the work of God. I can't see. I can't see how the football player at the end of after a touchdown score takes a knee, points his finger to heaven, and as if to give praise to the Most High God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that it's because he was able to fight off these other 11 men on the other side of the football and get to the end zone, that God willed that. That it was God's will that he, from Pop Warner to AAU football to high school football to Division I college football to the pros, that God gave you the ambition, the struggle, the power, or whatever, to make that happen, and God gave you this touchdown. God didn't bless the defense to stop you. God blessed you to make it to the touchdown. Or God blessed the defense to at fourth and goal, and you stopped the running back from getting into the end zone. So now your team starts on the one-inch line for offense. And God did that? That, to me, it's hard for me to accept that. And doing the Bible studies and looking at the Bible history of how the God of Israel works with the nation of Israel, I can't see those individual things. And as I look at the events before the flood, we know one hint Christ gave us, of many hints he did provide. In Matthew 24, he says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Meaning, the same way it was when in the days of Noah, when the Most High had Noah into the ark, and the Most High closed the door in the ark and caused the flood, thus saving Noah and his family and destroying everybody else on the planet, that it's going to be similar in the time of Christ. Looking at the mindset of what people were doing, what kind of activities people were into before the flood. And it tells you from Genesis chapter 6 how there were giants in the world. And I know there's a lot of the Nephilim. And a lot of people try to go in and find all these giant bones to prove that they were actual giants, like, as if it was Game of Thrones. And you had these ice giants or whatever. But I'm not going to deny that there had to have been much taller men, much bigger men. Minister, it tells you how Goliath was a giant. But another definition of giant also refers to being giants like in industry, being giants in the rap game, where you have like the Hall of Famers. For what do you not have a Hall of Fame for? If it's the Hall of Fame of baseball, Hall of Fame of basketball, Hall of Fame of football, the Hall of Fame of the Hollywood Walk of stars, the Academy Awards, the Grammys, the Country Music Grammys, the VMAs, I'm not sure what the awards are, the Tony Awards for acting on Broadway and Broadway plays, whatever, the Pulitzer Prize, that you're an award winning author, you're an award winning poet, you're an award winning journalist. That your name is renowned in your field of work. You're a giant in your field of work. It's hard for me to, but not even hard for me,
it's easier for me to understand what type of hard work goes into making sure that a person becomes a giant in their field of work, that their name is renowned, is famous in their field of work. If it's engineering, I'm sure that there's engineering awards for architecture, the Architect of the Year. And among other architects, you might be renowned for your architectural designs. And you might be renowned you can be renowned for the Fireman of the Year. You can be renowned for the Employee of the Month. Where you have put the hard work in, that when your name is mentioned in your particular field, there's a respect. Your name carries weight in that particular field. And as I look at the world today, I can see how that mentality really is becoming prevalent. That everybody wants an identity. Everybody wants the time on this earth to mean something. They want their name to they want to leave a legacy, if you will. And I see how much dedication and sacrifice and hard work is put into these type of endeavors, but it's got nothing to do with the Father. It tells you how Christ was lowly man, and that his infamy didn't come from his own personal glory seeking, his own personal need for attention, need for recognition, need for acknowledgement. Even we read so many times that when he heals people, he do it and he tell them, now don't tell anybody I did this. That he never wanted those accolades coming back at him. And then go back through all the scriptures, Isaiah 65, meaning that Christ said that the man he's looking for is the contrite man, that contrite and humble man, that one of no reputation, and that one of no reputation. There's not a need to have to be seen, heard, and known. We read Matthew, the 5th chapter, and he talks about the meek, the lonely, the lowly. Those that abase themselves gonna be exalted, or those that exalt themselves gonna be abased. And again, as I look at the perspective of at that same scripture as far as giants, from this perspective, not just in physical stature, as far as a Shaquille O'Neal or whoever the tallest man in America, or that white boy, or whatever. I'm not even referring to that as much as I'm referring to. There's more people who have fought to make a name for themselves in the different aspects of society that they might be involved with. Even being a ghetto superstar, if you want to take it there. Then in your hood, in your gym, in your whatever, how much energy and spirit and sacrifice is put in to make sure your name is known in these streets, your name is known in this field. Ask about me. Put some, as Birdman said on that Breakfast Club interview, put some respect on it. That's my name. Put some respect on it. And how that mentality is, that really is, you see more of that in the world than you see giants. Let me say it like that. As much as we recognize Andre the Giant or The Undertaker or, NBA basketball players, as much as we can recognize and see those individuals, true enough, you do see them. How many more do you see people trying to make a name for themselves in whatever industry that they might be in, whatever endeavors they might be in? And how many more people do you see following them in their footsteps, from even trying to get the same trainer, trying to go to the same schools, trying to eat the same diet, trying to eat the same everything? And I believe yeah, we He just texted me, so let me get him back on. Maybe he's ready.
Thank you, sir.
All right, cool. Sorry about that. I didn't know that you called up.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I was listening to you, man. I was definitely listening. I was listening to. I know the last part I heard was about the what was the work of the Most High. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to take away from your point. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to let you keep making the point. I know if my phone call dropped, you was making a point. I wanted to allow you to do that. That's the last part I was listening. I heard, and I was feeling it. I'm like, okay, me and you have had this conversation, Michelle, about the work of the Most High. You know what I'm saying? How, to be able to determine, because like you said, there have been men that have always, I don't know if we came up with our idea what the work of the Most High is, but there's been different things that we have been doing and different, I'm not going to say different things men were doing, but different, I can say different times. You know, there was a different time when this was more of a push than other things were, but it was never defined, hey, this is the work. And I like the point you're making, the fact that a man is working on himself or the family, or I'm in that book and I'm letting the Bible be that motivation. You know what I'm saying? Every day, I'm working on myself. As a scripture in Psalms, it says, is it Psalms? Yeah, Psalms. Where David said, the sacrifices of the Most High are a broken spirit. You know what I'm saying? A broken and a contrite heart. The only way you can really break your spirit is through having to submit to what the scriptures want you to do other than following what you want to do. So just I was right there with you on that. You know what I'm saying? But continue, please. Please.
Continue with what you're saying was that as much as Christ did give us the prophecy that just like it was in the days of Noah, it's how it's going to be in the days when he comes, how they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. But he referenced how it was before the days before the flood. And when we actually go back and look at the days before the flood in Genesis chapter 6, it tells you that it was men of renown, the Nephilim, the giants. And as much as I believe that there were actual giants, there were actual, because we know Goliath was a giant, but the Nephilim were these men who made a great name for themselves. If I was going to look at how things are today, you don't see a lot of 8-foot tall people that you can recognize, say, you know, that's a giant. Oh, so that must be a Nephilim. Or a 12-foot tall person. But you can see somebody who might be, they might say he's got a Napoleon complex. He might be short. But for his hard work, Prince, for example, Roger Nelson, the artist, that he was in stature physically, Prince was he wasn't 6 foot. I think Prince was like 5'5", 5'6". He was very short in stature.
Yep.
But when it comes to music, how much of a giant is he in music?
Yep.
How much is and how much does he have people try to aspire to look up to him and his musical accomplishments to want to achieve that as opposed to not his physical stature being somebody who might be 7 foot tall, 8 foot tall, what have you. But according to his accomplishments that he made in music, he would be considered a giant of the music
right.
game. And we can look through damn near every aspect of life where people look for the awards of becoming giants in their field. If you become a great journalist, there's a award for your journalism, a Pulitzer Prize. Your name is now forever etched in whatever museum there is about the great poetry, the great way you write things, that your name is not emblazoned for winning this type of award. If you're a Broadway actor, you get a Tony Award. So now your name in that community Your name among that world, your name among that sphere of people carries weight. It's recognized. Obviously, we get the Academy Awards. You get the Hall of Fame, and you have the professional sports Hall of Fames for each sport, but you also have the Hall of Fame for colleges, where your jersey, your name, whatever, is on a gold bar or whatever for whatever accomplishment you might have made. So if I'm going to look at – if I look across the board, I see more people trying to become and make a name for themselves in all these other endeavors than I see actual 12-foot-tall beings being born, as much as I see 8-foot-tall people being born, 7-foot-tall people being born. But I see where people put a lot more effort and energy and make a name for themselves in whatever field they might be involved with, that is not necessarily involved with using the words of the Most High, waking up the Most High people, where the Most High actually gets the glory. And that's all I was saying. Again, and I know that can be debated, and that's just perspective. I'm not trying to say that mine is the only perspective at all, but just the perspective that from my studies and what I'm looking at is that you see more people caught up in these things with the where Christ talked about in Matthew the 13th chapter about getting caught up with the cares of this world, that it chokes the word. That now it's not about the scriptures no more. It's about what you can achieve in this world, as opposed to if I look at the life of Christ. Christ did things without trying to get a reputation. He wasn't trying to get a rep. In early hip hop, one of KRS's, well, KRS was a guru. It was guru, as a matter of fact. He did it just to get a rep. That you're just trying to get a name. If it's in the streets, if it's in the whatever it is you're involved, you're trying to get a name for yourself. I see a lot more effort being put in these things. I see effort for, well, what is the will of God? When it comes to
God,
That's all I was bringing out, bro.
Yeah, I wanted to add to that, man. I wanted to go back, Mashaba. One of the things that yesterday we had a great discussion. We had one of the discussions, Mashaba. Can you hear me good? Can you hear me clear?
Loud and clear, brother. Loud and clear.
Okay. I was just going to say, man, we had a discussion yesterday where, I mean, it was one of those discussions where you want to take, and it shouldn't have been the show. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, in the spirit, it went in depth enough to where you started accepting. It was one of those. It was one of them talks where it had to deal with acceptance. You know what I'm saying? If this is what, if you're in the truth, and this is what the truth is about, and this is what serving the Most High is about, and this is the road that Christ went down, it goes into that spirit of acceptance. Am I willing to accept this path? And a lot of us are in the truth, and we're serving the Father to what we want, but a lot of it will be that path that Christ walked down. I really don't want to walk down that path. You know what I'm saying? I want to be here. I want to keep the laws. I want to, you know, I want to do the high holy days. I want to keep the Sabbath day. But when it comes to the path that he went down, the suffering part, that's where we start.
Yeah.
I would guess say head tripping. We head trip on the fact that, damn, why do I have to go through that? Or why am I going through this? And not realizing that, like we was reading, the suffering really is a big part of what this truth is about. It's not just the fact that it was just not eating pork and not cooking on the Sabbath day. Those things are important. You're not going to take away from the fact that just as important as the fringes are, just as important as the Sabbath day is, just as important as the high holy days are. The suffering that the scriptures say that we were going to go through because we're following Christ is a good, it's a component to what it is that the Most High is looking for from us. Am I willing to suffer for him? So I was going to read this, man. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, First Peter chapter 4, and I was going to start at verse 1, right? And just kind of go in and please, anytime, come in. Okay, thank you. It's First Peter chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 1.
All right, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. I'm pulling up here on the computer. All right, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. It says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind.
So the fact that he's telling you to arm yourself likewise, you got to get ready for suffering in the flesh. And I like the fact that he's going to go in depth and tell you what suffering in the flesh you're going to talk about. But if you got to arm yourself, you were supposed to be in this book. We, not you, but we are supposed to be in this Bible preparing for the suffering, because there's no way around that aspect. The suffering was the will of the Father. You know, Christ said, if I left this cup, he said, if it be your will, let this cup pass. He said, but if not, then let your will be done. If this is what you're going to put me through, then I'm just going to accept and go through it. That is the mind that we have to arm ourselves with. We have to arm ourselves with, I probably don't want to lose this. I don't want to suffer this. But if this is the will, then I have to accept that this is what he wants from me. Because you can go through it, and I like what you brought out earlier. You talked about Daniel. You talked about Paul. Paul got bit by ass.
Okay.
And the fear that everybody thought he going to die, the Most High had different plans. But how would I know what the Most High's plan was until after the ass bit me? You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't know if I was important to the Most High if he wanted me until after the ass bit me. I wouldn't know how important I am to the Father until you saved me from the lion's den. You really don't know what part you play in the heart of the Father until after you start to go through the suffering. Because now we see who Christ was and how important Christ was to the Most High. We saw it, how the Most High dealt with him after he suffered and got up on that cross. He sat on the right hand side of the Father. The Most High brought him back from the dead. He came back from the dead. Paul survived one of the most deadliest snake bites you can get. Daniel and him went through the furnace. They went through being thrown in prison. They went through the lion's den twice. And all these different things, the Most High showed us, he showed through the Bible how important these men were after they went through the suffering. Because I saved them from that suffering. I saved them from that fate, better word. You know what I'm saying? The fate of that would have been death on all of them.
Sure.
The fate of everything that these men were going through had been death, and the Most High spared them from it because they were important to him. They made the Bible. We read about them today. So the Most High, like he said, you have to arm yourself. You got to arm yourself. It says, arm yourself likewise. It says, with the same mind. I got to suffer, but if Christ went through it and the Most High brought him in on the other end, then I'm going to go through it. Because I'm going to get this. The Most High going to be there for me. Because that's the mind frame I'm in. I know he's with me. I mean, I like what I'm going through, but I know that he's with me. It says, for with. Hold on. Yeah. I'm sorry, y'all. It says, come on, man. I'm sorry, I'm getting calls while
I got you. I got you.
Please.
If you can handle that, I got this. I'm going to keep it right where you're at.
Go ahead.
Handle that. I got this. He says, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And I like what this is saying. I'm not trying to take away anything from what Barbara was just bringing out. It was great. But brothers and sisters, remember, this is Peter. This was a man that walked with Christ. This is a man who Christ said, unto you I give the keys to the kingdom of heaven. It's that Peter, St. Petersburg Square is named after. The one every damn near Italian after he was born, or what have you, named themselves either Peter or Paul. This is Peter. And he says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And I like what Bonaparte is bringing out in referring to the conversation we had yesterday, because it was about acceptance. Are we going to accept the job or accept the duty or accept what is the will of the Most High, like the examples he was bringing out?
Yeah.
For ourselves today, am I going to accept what it is I got to go through? Am I going to accept the suffering in my flesh for Christ? And then for Peter to say this, it's a short statement, but it's very powerful. It's really resonating with me right now. I'm trying my best to bring it out to for everybody the way it's hitting me. It says, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin.
Right.
Are you going to allow yourself or accept that we got to suffer in the flesh and not bear grudge,
not
have regret, not be mad, not be disappointed, not be let down because I had to suffer in my flesh? To allow yourself to suffer in the flesh for the sake of the Most High, for the sake of Christ. That's when it says we've ceased from sin. And that goes beyond eating pork, shrimp,
yeah,
crab, or lobster. That goes beyond making sure I gather together on the Sabbath. Those things must be done, no doubt. I'm not saying that this will give us license not to do those things. But
yeah,
what Peter is bringing out here and what Brother Bob is bringing out right now is, are we going to accept the things we have to go ahead and suffer and go through without being angry? Have we armed our minds that if I'm following Christ and these are things he went through, I'm going to go through the same things I don't. And if I see what glory he got in the end and that this will make him the chosen, then this is what's going to make me chosen also.
Son, there you go, man. And you can't
back from the dead. I'm sorry, bro.
No, I was saying I love it because you don't always have to agree. I don't always have to agree with what the Most High put me through. The Most High didn't expect you to agree. That's what suffering is. You don't suffer and agree with it. It wouldn't be suffering. The fact that I agree, the fact that I'm suffering it, I don't have to understand it. I just have to go through it, Father, because whatever you have planned, there's a reason why we had to go. This had to be done, even if it was just to be written, sir. Even if it was just to be written. If Daniel went through that just
yeah,
so it could be written, what Daniel went through and what he did, that was his will. If we're writing the next chapter on, and I know when I first came to the truth this summer, that was one of the things I heard a lot of brothers talk about. Their books, you know what I'm saying? Like, not their books, like, but
sure,
if it was writing the Bible, and if you, but when you come and read about me, this is what I was doing. You know what I'm saying? I went through this. We did this. Kingdoms that brothers put together, everything else. If I read about it, the one thing the Most High, and if we're patterning the Bible, right, the one thing that we can agree on, majority of the things that we read in the Bible have been the suffering of men. Maccabees, the suffering of that time. Tobiah, Tobit, the suffering of that time. Isaiah, the suffering, well, not Isaiah, but Isaiah. When you read about all that, the suffering. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, kind of was the suffering of that time. So if I was going, if you get into the New Testament, we read about the suffering of Christ, the suffering of the apostles.
Right.
So if we look at a pattern, the Most High is showing, okay, if I'm going to rewrite the Bible and I'm going to add great men of the 20th century, right? Because we're in the 20th century, right?
Right.
So if I had to write about great men of the 20th century, what
in keeping suit with how the Most High has taken every period and added that to the Bible, what is he going to add in? Our sufferings. The men that suffered and they endured what the Father took them through. The scripture said, he that endured to the end, the shame shall be saved. What am I enduring?
Right.
Suffering. Those are the things that are going to be written, and these are the things that we were supposed to be arming our minds for. You're not going to get around suffering. Nobody got around that. That's how they made the Bible. It was how they dealt with the suffering that the Most High put in there so that in latter time, even for our children, for the next generation, put it that way, better yet, if we were a generation, that we're following a generation, then somebody's going to follow our generation. And what are they going to follow? How we dealt with the suffering. So in reading it, where the Most High said to arm yourselves, he said, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. This is about, Christ didn't accomplish anything. The kingdom didn't come out after Christ suffered. All this stuff got recorded. It just got recorded. Peter, even to Paul and them, the kingdom didn't come after Paul suffered. It got recorded. Peter, James, all of they all died. And the only thing that glorified them was what was recorded so that we could use it to get through our suffering.
Yeah, come on.
So even if it's for us, if we don't make it to the kingdom, then the things that are going to be recorded are just for how we did things and how we can help be an example for the next generation to get through their suffering, the things the Most are going to have them suffer. You understand?
Right.
Now, we read verse 2. It says that he no longer should live in the rest of his time, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in flesh in the lust of men, but in the will of the Father. That's the one thing we had to get our minds, arm our minds likewise for. Christ understood it wasn't going to be about my flesh. This ain't going to feel good for me. Doing the will of the Father never benefits the person. It never has and never will. It was never designed. It was never set up that way. If you took Isaiah, you took all the prophets, you ain't read about one rich prophet. I don't think.
You know, one thing that's resonated with me right now, going over this at this particular time, where it says that he should live the rest of his time in the flesh, not to the lust of men. I feel like I'm reading this scripture for the first time right now. The lust of man being, how many times will the thought come to a person's mind, well, ain't this what everybody else would do?
Mm-hmm.
I see what everybody else is going through,
right.
What they got. So what's wrong with me wanting to have the same things? What's wrong with me wanting to be like that? What's wrong exactly? That was not, now I'm living my – now I find myself, after being in this work for the time we've been in, where the thoughts of regret want to set in, like, I should have did this, like I've seen other men do. I should have pursued what they were pursuing, as opposed to, am I still pursuing with the will of the Most High? But now I'm getting caught up into the lust of men. Like, if this is what other men have got and be able to achieve, then what's wrong with me wanting to achieve the same thing? To where now that's becoming more prevalent to want to pursue those things and be caught up in those lusts. This ain't talking about the lust of some porn or just wanting to drink. But just the lifestyle that other men, the so-called liberty that seem that other men have, and wanting to have and partake in those particular things as opposed to continuing in.
That's why I came. You were the first I came for.
In the flesh. To make sure.
Oh, I love
me,
it.
She said,
I
said, I'm going to get this.
Like
I said, let me make sure the story. I'm here.
Where Christ,
You have to.
So, but Christ, when he said, and but I'm going to bring it back in. There's somebody, I'll walk in real quick. But it said, just like the example that was brought up just now, when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed to the Most High three times, not to have to go through the suffering that he had to go through in the flesh, but he said, nevertheless, not according to my will, but your will be done. We see the will of the Most High was for Christ to suffer in the flesh, that he couldn't please himself. He couldn't be about what he wanted. It had to be about what the Most High's will, what the Most High wanted. And this is Peter saying this. Remember, Christ checked Peter, and when Christ announced that he had to go to Jerusalem to suffer and be put to death, Peter withstood him and said no. And that's when Christ told Peter, get behind me, Satan. Because you savor the things of men, not the things of the Most High. So this is Peter, the same one who received that rebuke and that chastisement from Christ himself, telling us right here, again in verse 2, that we no longer should live the rest of our lives in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of the Father. Again, it's just resonating with me right now.
God's bad.
Are we going to live to the will of the Most High in the same similar fashion that Christ did? That he suffered, he accepted. He didn't agree with it, like what I just brought out. No, he didn't agree with it, but he accepted. This is what I got to do for the will of God. So I can, wow. Christ didn't cease from sin or wasn't a sinner because he was eating pork, shrimp, crab, or lobster. But if I can try and break this down as simple as I possibly can, any pork, crab, shrimp, or lobster is a sin because, yes, it's unclean. Yes, it'll do harmful things to your body. But if we can bring it down to an even smaller level, if y'all can take this journey with me, it's because those things are a choice. The sin is that you made the choice to eat something. Why would you choose to eat something that's bad for your body?
Right.
Yeah, that's a sin. But the sin is that you chose that when it's something that's harmful. It's something that's going to hurt you. It's that the mindset that you're in. That's the sin. It's not so much the focus on the actual, oh, I ate pork. Oh, I touched pork. Oh, I wore friends. I didn't wear friends. That's not the sin. The sin is, where's your mind at? Am I choosing to do something that's harmful to me? But most I don't want to harm myself in that state. But I'm making a choice that's pleasing me as opposed to making a choice that's about the Most High. Again, I know for a lot of people this is what I'm saying right now is going to sound off because we've been so programmed to understand that sin is the bringing of the law, which it is. But it's the mindset that you get into that makes you choose to do those things that are against the Most High. That's what more the sin is, as opposed to just focusing on the actual technical aspects of, well, did your toothpaste have pork in it? Did your soap have some pork in it? Oh, I got to make sure I read all my ingredients because I can't eat. I don't want no pork. It's not. You didn't make the choice. If you washing your body and you find out that the soap you've been using all this time has got pork in it, you can find some soap that don't have pork, cool, but it's not the fact that it's a sin so much that, oh, I was using toothpaste that had pork. I was using soap that had pork as much as the sin would be more heavy, for a better statement. The sin would be more heavy and I keep making this choice. I keep desiring this choice because it makes me feel good. Only because I like it, not because of the actual technicalities of, okay, I'm defiled. But what's actually defiling you? Like Christ said, whatever you eat is going to go through your body, and the body's going to get rid of it. It goes in a drought. But he says, but what stays in the person is their thoughts. Where are your thoughts at? Are your thoughts on what pleases the Most High, or your thoughts on what pleases you? Wow, this hit me on a whole other aspect, right? The water. But I know you was bringing up on the Bible.
It's right on here. No, let's read. Let's keep reading, because you're adding right in there. Because verse 3 says this, Rashad, for the time past of our lives may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. We were pleased just to fit in the world. We were more pleased just to be a part and to fit in. We weren't trying to go through the suffering. We were just, in our lives, it was about acceptance. Like today, right now, this is more about acceptance than actually going through what we have to go through. Even in the truth, if we, like you said, we just stick to the simplest form of this. Even in the truth, I'll be comfortable if I'm accepted by other brothers and sisters because I wear my fringes, because I honor the Sabbath day correctly, because I kept the High Holy Days. You know, I make sure I post my pictures of the High Holy Days and different things like that. Those are things that I've done because I am getting acceptance. In the world, we look for acceptance. In the truth, we can look for acceptance. It says, it says, it applies to us that we wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, in lust, we walked in excessive wine, in reveling, in banqueting, in abominable idolatry. Now, we walked in the fact that we went to church, you know what I'm saying? And before we came to the truth, we used to post them, oh, how I love Jesus, you know what I'm saying? We made sure we had a nice Easter suit. You know, we made sure we sang. We made sure the world knew that I was a Christian. Went in banqueting, man, the club I went to. Post the spots that I was going to and the feast that we had, the Thanksgiving. And that's how we know we still walk in the Gentiles, because those are the things that were important to us. We were accepted. We were doing their will. We did what the majority wanted us to do. They want us to make sure that you're celebrating Christmas, make sure you're celebrating Thanksgiving. And you can remember when you first came into Truth Bishabba, everybody was like, Christmas? Are you going to say Christmas on the baby?
Right.
Oh, so I can't give them no gifts now? Well, what if I say it's a Hanukkah gift? You know what I'm saying? It was everything.
Right.
Everybody was mad because you weren't doing their will. You stopped doing their will. But there was a time when that's what we looked for, the acceptance that we were doing their will. We come into the truth now. We left that, but all of a sudden, We don't look for the suffering. What we look for now is the fact that, am I accepted, right? Am I accepted now doing what's expected of me rather than understanding, man, this is not what you think it's going to be. It ain't going to be the fact that you're not going to go through anything, because half of us came into the truth because we didn't want to go through anything. You know what I'm saying? I left the world, and with my ways pleased the Most High. Say, I'm making I'm pleasing the Most High. My enemies are at peace with me. Yeah, but you didn't expect that a way to please the Father was going by suffering. The things you weren't going to get to do, the things that you had to go through that you always didn't agree with, but you still got to go through it. The Father's like, that is when you're doing my will. But we're reading, he's showing, man, there was a time that is what we did. We were happy just to fit in the will of the Gentile. We fitted in. It says, verse 4, wherein they think it strange when you run not with them in the same excess to riot, speaking evil of you. So when we came into the truth, you went to that first, I think I went to my first Thanksgiving after I came into the truth. And I went to that Thanksgiving in some fringes.
Right.
I went over there, and I had fringes on the Bible. When I walked through the door, I was strange. Like, what do you have on? Do you know this is Thanksgiving dinner? And you ain't never came to Thanksgiving dinner looking like that. So automatically,
right.
I was looked at as strange.
Right.
Right. Then I opened the Bible up, and I was like, you know, this is like, I think like every, like 99.9% of every Israelite that came to the truth, walked into their first Thanksgiving of their family, and opened that Bible up and said, this ain't got nothing to do with the Lord. And you were either kicked out or talked about, or you wasn't invited the next year.
Because you was in a cult.
Yeah, you were spoken evil of, but that was the natural thing because we walked not after the flesh. We were doing the will of the Father. We felt good being rejected. Because we was doing what was right. Most of the time, you watch a cat that walk around in fringes and everything else, hair long, beard all beard crazy, hair long. I'm looking for the rejection. I let it grow out because I knew you was going to reject me. Every brother that's on the street corner, he ain't on the street corner because he's going to be accepted. He's on the street corner because he knows as soon as he opened his mouth, he got that picture of Cesar Borgia with a 666 on the top of the head and just the devil written on the side of it. Or, you know what I'm saying? He already know what that's going to cause.
Time.
Rejection. I did it for that purpose. And a lot of the things we did because we were going to suffer, and we knew what we were going to suffer, but we knew it was for righteousness. But you know the problem is? I was looking for personal comforts.
Yeah.
I figured the Most High would take care of my personal comforts. And then in the car, I have my car, I have my home, I have my job, I have this and that. So the Most High started messing with my flesh, he started attacking my personal comforts. So now I'm suffering where I'm not getting the personal things that I want. All of a sudden now, this ain't the truth. All of a sudden now, man, something's wrong. Something's got to be going wrong because why are we suffering financially? Why are we suffering personally? You know, why is my woman, leaving me? You know what I'm saying? Why did my man go get more than a woman? Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Whatever things I think that I'm going through, I'm thinking, well, I'm in the truth through the work of the Most High. I'm not supposed to go through those things, even death. My child died.
Kind of.
My husband died. My wife passed away. We were supposed to go to the kingdom together. I wasn't supposed to suffer that. Honestly, our idea of what this is about, we're not really realizing that. It's really the Father's will. You're following him. You don't have say. You don't always have say in what you don't understand. Better way. I'm not going to say what he's doing, because we know we don't have say in what he's doing. But a lot of it is what we don't understand. I don't understand that the Father's taking me through this so that it's now my duty to have my mind right to come out on the other side of this still honoring him, still honoring him. This makes me think about Abraham. You know what I'm saying? But you talking about the father of faith, God. He wasn't doing nothing but suffering. Abraham would go, and wherever your footsteps is going to be given to the children of Israel. You didn't tell me what terrain, what things I was going to encounter. You just told me to walk. Then when I get out there, they try to take my woman. I had to suffer these dudes trying to kill me and take my woman. And I went through it, and the Most I had to come through on the other end the right way. Then I get out there, and you tell me send my oldest son, Ishmael, and the handmaid Hagar into the wilderness. Let them go. Because you can have another child, and this child will be one important. But how did we not know that Ishmael was just as important to Abraham as Isaac was? Ishmael was just as loved as Isaac was, but Ishmael wasn't part of the Most High's will. Isaac was. But the Most High still did one thing. I still took care of Ishmael. He said, 12 princes he shall have. I made him a great nation. I still blessed Ishmael. But I blessed Ishmael. You didn't have to understand what I was doing. You just had to go through what I'm doing. And that's what the Father keeps is going, all through the scriptures is going to keep pointing out to us. Every example we could come up with of a patriarch of this Bible, they didn't have to understand what he was doing. They had to go through it. They just had to go live it. I just had to have my mind right to live through it. Because I didn't even think of the story of Paul and the asp. It was a good story. You know what I'm saying? It was just kind of, bro, how did you come off a shipwreck? You just think, bro, you hit sand, hit the land, I said, thank the Lord. Thank you, Yahweh. I just survived this storm. I watch people around me die. My boat is wrecked. The boat is wrecked. And the only thing I'm trying to do is build a fire. And now that I'm building a fire right after the storm, I'm trying to build a fire and get bit. And now my life is in danger again. But you didn't just save me through the storm. You also saved me from the venom.
Right.
I don't have to understand your plan. I just gotta trust that the outcome is going to benefit me if I go through it. If I'm not afraid to put my trust in the Father. You there?
I'm right here, bro. I'm right here.
I'm gonna jump down to verse 6 real quick.
Gotcha. First Peter chapter 4, verse 6. It says, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit.
He said, for what we're going through and what we're seeing, everything I'm reading in the Bible, it was to be preached. So even if for us without the Most High, even for us that didn't, we came into the truth that we really didn't understand. We was in that dead state of mind. We were still in the world. We really didn't understand what we were reading. We didn't really understand what we were getting into. But the Most High was leaving examples the whole time that we can now look to and now draw strength from. Oh, man, we went through this. And we came to the other end. And those stories have helped forge us to be the righteous people that we are today. So for the same cause, let's do the same thing. Now, our stories, if we trust the Most High and go through this like we're supposed to, our stories will be those examples that the next generation get to draw strength from. If it's the Elijah, if it's the boys, if it's the young generation, even the young kids, you know what I'm saying? These young Israelites, man, are just starting to come up. They'll have something to draw strength from. I may not understand the Bible 100%, but I remember what my dad went through. I remember what my uncle was going through. I remember what my aunt was going through. I remember what my mother went through. And at the end of it, she still stayed right with the Most High. And the Most High, I didn't understand why she was doing it, but, man, the Most High blessed it. We always came through. We always had this. The Most High looked out.
Okay.
Those are our stories, man. They don't have to. We don't have to understand it. It ain't for, it's all for the teaching. It's all for the preaching. We're going to teach them to live according to the will of the Most High. We gonna teach them how to walk in the Spirit. We're following the examples that were left for us. Go ahead.
No, just to add to what you're saying, and trying to keep this going. Luke 6:22, and that's what it says. And I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna get right back. It says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast you out, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Getting back to, I'm not doing the things of the world, and the people of the world are looking at me like I'm crazy, I'm off, I'm a fool, stupid, whatever derogatory form thing they come up with, strange, weird, what have you. But in understanding that for us going through these things, we're giving an example to another generation that in doing these things, this actually is the right way of doing it to the most, for the Most High.
God.
Again, like they're saying, they can now be strengthened that, you know what? When as their families separate, Christ said, "Think not I can send peace on earth. I cannot send peace for the sword. A man's foe is arguably there in his own household." That right. It's going to be family members that are going to look at you as off, crazy. Why are you not doing it this way? Everybody else in the world does it this way. Why you got to be so different? Got to be this, that, whatever. But now when they can see and have that example of us going through these things and doing it with a joy, doing it with a strength, with a grace, an open-mindedness to it and not the regret. Like I said, this word, it's hitting me deep in my head. Are my kids seeing me do what I'm doing with grace, with joy, with peace, with happiness, or are they seeing regret, gloom, anger, frustration, giving up,
right.
Regret? So now, as they get hit with these type of things, are they really being given something that they can continue with that's going to help them? Or they going to be like, "I saw what Dad went through, so shit. Forget
that.
I'm not going to go through that."
And it's not, besides that, we just add this too. It's not what you went through. It's how you reacted to what you went through. That's the scary part. That they don't want. I don't want to go through this and end up feeling or living like him. But it wasn't the fact that you weren't happy with your apartment or you weren't happy with your car. You didn't look. You looked frustrated all the time. You look angry and bitter all the time. And like they see the couple, the house, the man and woman fighting with each other all the time. They see you, they see that man drinking all the time. He up all night. Like, you know what? Happy people is drinking all night. Happy people don't drink all night. Happy people go home because they want to enjoy life. Unhappy people drink. They stressed. They angry. They fight. And this is what they're seeing. They're like, "Wait a minute." What? And you know what all they do is say, "That's why I'm not coming to the truth. That's why when I get old, I ain't doing that." You gave them a Hebrew name. Them niggas use a nickname. What's your name?
All day.
IB. You're like, what's
IB? Right.
That's my name. That's my name. I'm going to use, you know, I'll give myself nicknames to everything else. You're like, okay, you're ashamed because you didn't understand. You're ashamed, Shabba. They're ashamed because we didn't handle the suffering the way we should have handled it. He said, "Count it all joy when you go through diverse temptation." He said, "Knowing that the trial of your faith worketh patience, and patience worketh temperance, and temperance maketh love." You know what I'm saying? I don't handle my suffering properly. I would have gotten the bottom. Me and my woman ain't getting along, so I stay separated. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I'm snappy. So the kid's like, "Okay, I'm not coming into the truth. I'm not going to end up nothing like them." We handled it wrong, and we're not seeing that this right here, how we handle it, is the message that we're sending out. This is what you're preaching. We just read, however you deal with it is what you're preaching. This is what you're preaching now. This is what your message is. So if I don't like it, if I don't like the truth, it's because of the message you put out. Because we've had elders that they were suffering, but you wouldn't know. Ariana was a perfect example. There was a lot of things Ariana was going through that we didn't know. You know what I'm saying? This young man. So whatever his message was going to be our outlook on serving the Most High. And for us to have the drive, the will, the drive, the desire, the determination, everything else to continue doing what we've been doing for the Most High, it was based off of whatever was shown to us from the beginning. When we was young and impressionable. So whatever we show these kids now, that's what is going to go with them the rest of their life in this truth. And if they don't follow the Father, it's because they had a piss-poor example. Because suffering is something everyone's going to go through. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of.
Let's go back to what you was reading.
No, it's hit my – this just cut me so deep. I know that's why this what we're going over, and this angle is proper, because I want to get distracted so bad. My mind wants to go to sleep. My mind wants to get up. My mind wants to – My flesh wants to get away from this conversation.
Hey, you be like, you guys said, Yahweh, this ain't fair. This ain't fair. The Most High, like, man, you know what the crazy thing is? He like, this was my will, though. My will was for this truth to be passed on to the next generation. How you pass it on is going to stand for your righteousness. What Abraham did
and that
in his time
that's what
stood for his righteousness. Go ahead.
No, and
go ahead. Say
it. And going over this, it wasn't about that. I could just give a scripture, but to be able to give somebody how to go through this in the right mindset, how to deal with the suffering, the attack to the flesh. That was more important to the Father, that the next generation got these things as opposed to me now. I'm going through these sufferings, but what stands out more is I'm pissed off, I'm angry, I'm drinking. The example I'm giving, I'm not turning to the book. Whenever y'all come and see me, I'm in front of the TV, catching up on old Netflix series that I've been done watched. I'm doing these type of things as opposed to you seeing me with a joy in these scriptures, finding a way to find the happiness, the coping skills of what we're going through, and then be able to come back and say the reason I'm able to go through this is because of this scripture, is because what this said, because of this lesson. Yeah, like I said, this is cutting deep.
You know what I thought about too, Michelle? Let's call that crazy on that. Even you know, we grew up with parents. And you like, say you go by your parents' old house when you were in high school, right? We ain't talking about the house now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about that, you know what I'm talking about, that Bamazano, but it's now, and you go by it, you're like, this ain't really that fancy of a house. But when you was a kid, for some reason, that house was like, wow, this place is like huge. It wasn't the house that you could bring. It was the love that was in that house. You know what I'm saying? Even to this day, and I'm only saying it because we've been together this long, and I know your parents. Personally, I know them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I seen them.
True.
These two people love each other so much. You know, like when you get old and you still with the same person when you old, and there's no more, you know, the attraction ain't there like that, and he don't perform like he do, and his mind is half gone, and her and she everywhere, but y'all still together. That was the love that was there, but those kids experienced that love right in that home. So it didn't matter how much money was there. It didn't matter. I mean, what kind of car you had. It didn't matter. Any of those things, they didn't matter. You wanted to be like them because of the joy that they saw. They saw strength, and then they saw a joy and a happiness because you understood. You understood what was important. Our kids now are coming to the truth, and if they're not continuing, it's because what they've watched, they watched parents complain most of the time in their actions. You can say, oh, yeah, no, I'm good,
yeah.
I'm good, but you don't look good. I don't feel the love. To be in this truth, I don't feel that love. And what we don't understand is the whole time I'm carrying this anger in me and I got these spirits on me, I don't realize that this is what I'm teaching my children. So now when I see them and they're angry, well, where did they learn the anger from? From you.
Me.
Is what you preach.
Yeah.
Where did they learn to not have faith in the Father? From you, because that's what you preached. The scripture says this.
Huh.
You see, you will know a tree by the fruit it bears.
Yeah.
Simple. He said, you will know a tree by the fruit it bears. So if my fruit is angry, it's because I'm angry. And I'm not just talking about your fruit like the people in your camp. Hell, your fruit is your own children that came from your loins.
The fruit of your body. Fruit of my body. Come.
Yeah, you look at them and say, okay, they faith is not strong. Why is their faith not strong? Because they didn't see strong faith. They don't have fight in them. I mean, these dudes are getting pulled by every spirit they're making, all the mistakes that they're making. But they only have one source to be able to show them, and it was you. It's like teaching a kid how to dribble a basketball. You know what I'm saying? I can't.
Yeah.
It's not something I can read to you. It's something I have to show you. So when I bounce it and I cross you up and I cross through my legs and all of that, I showed you, and they mimic what they see. So if they can mimic what they see in the flesh, how do they not mimic what they don't understand in the spirit? Because you didn't understand, and you went through it this way, and because they don't understand, now they're turning to the flesh. So when they're out there drinking, when they're out there smoking, everything that they're going through, there's something that they saw when you were going through what you went through that you didn't realize this is what you are teaching. And we've all made that mistake. We've all been guilty of that. You know, I could have, you look back, you said, man, I could have been a better example. I didn't have to handle it that way, because we're telling them, man, you ain't got to do that. You ain't got to do it like that. What's wrong with you? Why are you acting like this? Why are you like this? This is what I learned. Either I learned it from you, or you were absentee, so I had to learn it from someone else. If that makes sense.
Yeah. My complete sense. What me and you talking about? I don't know about anybody else. I'm hearing this loud and clear.
I'm gonna read six or seven again, right? It says for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. It says that they may be judged according to men in the flesh. Yeah, they're gonna be they were never supposed to be accepted. If we did our job right, our kids were never supposed to be accepted in the world because they were living according to the Spirit of the Most High. They was living according to the Bible. They were never supposed to be accepted. They were gonna be judged quitters. They was gonna be judged failures. They was gonna be judged them holy rollers, them people that think they're better. I mean, whatever they said about us, they were supposed to say it about them. The people that messed up Hebrew name, or what's your name? What's your parents' name? Do it make a difference?
Right.
It's Mashaba. It's Barabbas. I don't got to say AI or YG.
Chris,
all that, man. I don't gotta make it soften it up. I gotta soften it up so it can be accepted in the world. No, if we did it right, nothing righteous that they did according to that Bible, it wasn't going to be accepted in the world. But they would be living according to the Most High, according to the Spirit, according to the Bible. They would be living that way because we did it. If they're trying to be accepted in the world, guess what we were trying to do? Still trying to be accepted. We were trying to find acceptance because now they're trying to find acceptance. And the Most High was never looking. He never intended for us to find no damn acceptance. I wasn't looking for you to be accepted. I was just looking at you. I was looking for you to live according to my Spirit and what I wanted for you.
God.
Now, verse 7, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. We sitting at the end. Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back, and guess what our children are still looking for? Acceptance in the world.
Right.
Because that's what they saw. They saw men and women or parents that were unhappy because they weren't accepted by other people in the flesh. I'm not good enough because I don't got a big house. I'm not cool enough because I don't have a nice car. I don't walk in wisdom because I ain't doing this over here, or I don't got that over there. So our kids like, well, you know, I'm going to go get a nice car so I can be accepted. Well, I'm going to go get me a nice house so I can say I'm walking in wisdom. I'm going to put me on some big old fancy garments so I can be accepted as a righteous or a person that's a certain way. I'm steady trying to figure out how to fit in the flesh and not in the spirit of what's important. Are you living your life according to the Most High in the Spirit? That's not important. When I focus on, we weren't focused on living our life according to the Most High in the Spirit. We were living our life just looking for acceptance. First, before we came to the truth, people in the world, when you come into the truth, you're looking for acceptance from people that are in the truth.
Yeah.
I'm in the Spirit as long as I'm accepted by the group of people that I'm around. And when I'm not accepted, I'm unhappy when I'm not accepted. When I'm not accepted,
depressed.
I'm drinking and I'm depressed because I'm not accepted by the people that are around me. The Most High never was, that's not what the Most High was looking for. Wasn't accepted by the people that he was around. The ones he was around, the people that didn't accept him, they put him to death. They hung him on a cross. The intent was never to be accepted. It was only to be living according to the Most High.
Yeah.
That was the plan from the jump.
To be living according to the Most High means I'm looking for acceptance by the Most High only. I want to be accepted by him.
Now, if we're both doing that, we're supposed to be able to walk together because we're both looking for the same thing. I'm looking for you. You're looking to be accepted by the Most High. I'm looking to be accepted by the Most High. Can two walk together except they be what? Agreed.
Agreed. Yeah.
We don't have to agree with each other. We just have to both agree that I'm trying to be right with the Most High and you're trying to be right with the Most High. If you want that path,
and finding that joy. Finding that joy in that we're serving the Most High. And if it means suffering, if it means affliction, if it means this, whatever, we can still find the joy because we know that what I'm going through is pleasing to the Most High. Because the one of the curses from Jeremiah 28 was because we don't serve Him with joy.
Yeah,
I'm going through these things. I'm going through these things, but I'm not finding a joy because it makes the Most High happy. I'm more concentrated on how miserable I feel, and how I feel like a sense of loss, a sense of non-acceptance. And I'm looking at these things, and I'm not looking at, you know what, but me going through this, this really is making me acceptable in the eyes of the Father. So I can't find a joy in that. I can't find a good, pure, all things are pure. But to the Father unbelieving, is nothing pure. Like, this ain't worth it. This is bullshit. This is all wrong. This ain't serving Christ. Well, actually, it is.
Right. And because the only reason I came up with that and now that I came to that conclusion is because other men didn't accept it. It doesn't fit in the idea of other men. It doesn't fit in the and you catch that on all ends. You got guys that are following different groups. And it's more of a focus to be accepted by that group than be accepted by the Most High. So there could even be things about that group that as an individual. There may be things about that group that I don't agree with. And I look at the Bible, I'm like, wait a minute, hold on, I'm reading this. This ain't in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says this. Okay, you're saying it, but I don't see it in the book. But you know what I'm going to do? Just for the sake of unity, and that's the word we'll use, for the sake of unity, what will I do? I'm going to kind of just go with, I'm going to unify with you. I'm not sitting here saying, wait a minute, let me unify with the Most High. Let me unify with the Most High. I'm not supposed to agree with everything you say. I'm supposed to agree with the Bible. And if we're both trying to focus on being right with the Most High, I should be able to tell you, you should be able to tell me, hey, hold on, the scriptures say this, though, man. The scriptures say this. And if we're both trying to be right with the Most High, then if I see it wrong, or if I didn't know that was in the book, I should be ready to make the adjustment because I'm trying to follow the will of the Father. Now, if you show me, Bonabot, that there's something that I got this kind of wrong, doing it the wrong way, or I'm not focused on the right thing, and I'm not making the adjustment, is because I've been walking in the flesh. I don't want to adjust to the will of the Father because I like doing it this way. And if I'm not making the adjustment, you know why, Rashawn? Because the majority of people agree with me. If the majority agree with me and they don't agree with you, then guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep doing it this way because the majority of the people agree with me. Not because the Bible says it this way, but because the majority agrees. It's been like that. How come we go only back to we can go all the way back to coming out of Egypt, right? Why did Aaron build the calf? One question.
Yeah.
Why did he build it? Why did Aaron build the calf? A golden calf, why did he build it? Because of the majority.
Yeah.
I know the will of the Father. It ain't like Moses. I'm right. I'm the second. I am the second.
I'm the
voice. Under Moses. Right. It ain't like Moses don't bring me. I brought the tablets. Everything that the Father said, I have brought it to you, Aaron. You were the first person that I told, and then he was supposed to tell the congregation. Nigga, how you build the calf? It was about acceptance.
Being accepted by the majority, Con.
It was about acceptance. I don't want to look like I'm out of order. You know what the crazy thing is? Aaron had to watch half of them die. Because the Most High didn't kill Aaron. Y'all choose. All that follow me, step on this side. All that ain't, step on that side. Kill them all. Aaron, watch that. You watch all the people die when you were the voice. All you had to say was, wait a minute. No, I'm not building this. The Most High said, thou shalt have no idols or no graven images. The scriptures
right.
say that already. Why would I follow something that goes against when I know I just read it and just told you? Or not, we follow the Most High. Ain't no golden calf lead you out of Egypt. That didn't lead you out of Egypt. What led you out of Egypt was the love of the Most High. That's what brought us out of that. But we're still getting caught up in the same thing. We're following. We're looking for acceptance more than we're looking to be in order with the Most High. And we're reading and figuring out, Masaba, that a lot of being in order with the Most High, you're not always going to be accepted. You're not going to be accepted. Christ wasn't accepted by the Pharisees. Christ wasn't accepted by the people in the world, and he wasn't accepted by his own.
That's true, Con.
He didn't accept when accepted because he didn't agree. Because I just didn't go along. Christ would have been today one of your brothers is out of order, man. Because this is what the if it's a unity meeting, Christ didn't show up to the unity meeting.
Right.
He would have been. He literally would have been one of them brothers that whatever the majority was doing. You're like, wait a minute, I'm the way. So whatever the majority is doing, if I'm the way, the truth, the life, he said, no man come to the Father but by me. I don't read nowhere. The only thing I read about Christ doing with the Pharisees was going to the temple and reading on the Sabbath day. That's the only time I've ever read, which was the tradition. Of Israel. I went and I honored the Sabbath day. Everything else about Christ, they have something to say. Why are your apostles picking corn on the Sabbath day?
Yeah.
It just seemed like you're reading about a guy that was just a rebel. He was out of order. They sell it in the temple. He go into the temple and turn it upside down. I'm turning over tables to everything else. That doesn't sound like a man that just went along. But what was his motivation? He told you the whole time. He said, man, I was about my Father's business.
I got to please the will of the Father.
I got to do the will of the Father. Even getting on that cross to the day he died, his focus was doing the will of the Father. Now he's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father because that was his focus the whole time he lived on the earth, doing his will, not fitting in.
Yeah.
So I like what Peter's reading. That's the mistake we make. I'm not telling them, don't get me wrong. I'm going to be clear in my words. I'm not telling brothers and sisters that they need to rebel. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I have to now look at this thing and stop judging myself based off of, well, I don't have a big house, or I don't have a car, so I must be doing something wrong, or, I'm not liked. Everybody don't hang out and drink with me. You know, I'm not that guy that hang out and drink with a little bit. I'm not the dude that they buddy with. I'm not that. So maybe I don't fit in. If I'm reading the book, and I'm in that book learning to live right, and I'm trying to live my life the best I can according to the will of the Father, that was supposed to have been my focus from the beginning.
Okay.
So when you stop eating pork, You didn't stop eating pork because everybody in Israel didn't eat pork. You stopped eating pork because you read Leviticus chapter, what, the 7 or 11?
Chapter 11. 11, yeah.
That's the reason we stopped eating pork. You didn't stop smoking cigarettes because the majority of everybody was not smoking cigarettes. You stopped smoking cigarettes because you read about defiling your temple, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 or 19, one of them. You read those scriptures, and I adjusted accordingly. You didn't put on fringes because the majority of everybody was putting on fringes. You put on fringes because somebody took you over a class that says that these are the garments of the Most High. You're supposed to have a fringe on it. You're supposed to have studs of silver. That's why you put it on. Because that's what the scriptures were supposed to do. You were following the will of the Most High. That's what we were supposed to do the whole time. That was the focus. Everything you read when it was the Day of Atonement. I didn't follow the Day of Atonement because somebody said, well, this is what we all doing. We're all getting together, and we're going to fast the whole day, and we're not going to put nothing in our mouth. No. Somebody went and sat down in that scripture and said, hey, this is the Day of Atonement, and this is how you honor the Day of Atonement. Hanukkah, Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, to everything else that men are out here doing. Somebody opened that book up and showed me in the book. They didn't have to have the full understanding. The fact that they could show me what they had to show me, I made the adjustments accordingly to what I read. But some of this stuff that we're doing, not everything, but some of the things that we're following, we haven't even went to the Bible. No one even sat down and showed it. We just went along.
Yeah.
We've been doing it because I don't want to look like I didn't follow the majority or I didn't stay in order. So now we have GOCC. We have IUIC. We have ISUBK. We have ISBHBK. We have Sakari. We have all these different groups. We have one book and all these different groups, and all these people are saying that they're trying to stay in order. Who are you staying in order with then? If it's one book, there should be one group because everybody's been in order with the book.
That's what it's supposed to be, Con.
God, you can't say that you're in order. What you can say is I am following I am in order with the body. Me and the body people I'm with, I'm with them.
You said in order, I'm unified. I'm accepted.
There you go. I'm walking. I'm accepted. Very better. That's the word. I'm accepted by them. If I know if I follow this, I'm accepted by them. But it don't mean you're accepted by the Father. Because some of the fight that we fight to be accepted by men, we ain't following Christ. Christ wasn't fighting to be accepted of men. We don't read it nowhere in the book. Nowhere in that Bible was Christ fighting to be accepted of men. He was fighting to be in order with the Most High.
That's what the focus should be. And that's what the reminder got to be.
God. Now you know what goes back, hit me with me in the scripture where in Galatians, Paul said, it's Galatians, he said, oh, foolish Galatian, who have bewitched you? He said, having begun in the Spirit, how are you made right, or how are you
perfect
made righteous in the flesh, or made perfect in the flesh? Well, we can understand what flesh was Paul talking about in Galatians. It was the same flesh that he was talking about in Peter. you're not going to be made perfect because you stated you were accepted by men. That's not going to make you perfect. You started out in the spirit where it was about you following the word. You made all your changes and all your adjustments in your life based off of what you were reading in the Bible. How do you start there? And then now you're going to be perfect by being in order or being accepted of men. It doesn't. You're not going to be made perfect. You're not getting better in the eyes of the Most High. You are in order, and you are a part of the group. You are a part. You are definitely accepted, and you are a part of the group. But you're not walking in the spirit. Because you're accepted by the group don't always mean that you're walking in the spirit. You already started walking in the word. When from the first day that you stopped eating pork because the Bible said that. The first day you went to the Sabbath day, Friday sundown, when you told your woman to go in the other room, and you said, we're not having sex. We're not going out. No more Friday, because Friday night used to be the best. That's the best night to get out. So now Friday nights we're in. With a head covered, we're in class. We're in class Friday night. Friday night, Saturday morning, or the Saturday night, it was the Sabbath day. The scriptures is what motivated that, because I was walking in the flesh. Yeah, even to the point of I was a brother and I didn't even cook on the Sabbath day. That's Friday in the daytime I prepared my meal, and then Friday night, we didn't even light a fire. I didn't light a fire so much because that's what everybody else was doing. I didn't light a fire because somebody showed me in the Bible that you don't light a fire. Now, if it's right or wrong, I'm not going to debate that. What we're debating, Mashaba, is the motivation. What is motivating you to do what you do?
Yeah, try.
Are you motivated because the Bible said do it, or are you motivated because that's what everybody else is doing? This is what the Most High is judging. Because the Most High said the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm walking in the spirit, I'm walking in the word. That means what I'm reading according to the word, that's what I'm following. If I'm walking in the flesh, I'm trying to be accepted by everyone else. I'm trying to make sure, I'm just making sure that I'm a part and I am in agreement with everyone else. And Israel is quick to let you know when you ain't in agreement with them. I'm going to take your rank because you're not in agreement. Or I'm not going to let you teach because you're not in agreement. Or I'm going to stop communicating the way I did before because you're not in agreement with what I'm doing. And then I'm going to use that scripture. Can two walk together except they be agreed?
Kind of.
And you're right. No, we can't walk together if we don't agree. But Paul and Barnabas didn't walk together because they didn't agree. We never said it was wrong. It's just they didn't walk together because they didn't agree. Christ and the Pharisees didn't walk together because they didn't agree. Christ called them a generation of vipers. But then he also came back and told them, he said, do as they say, not as they do. They didn't agree. Christ walked his path. They walked theirs.
In
the synagogue on the Sabbath day, reading right with these men. I don't have to agree with you. This is about me walking, learning. This is all I'm supposed to be focused on was me learning the will of the Father and now following it. You know what's crazy? I guarantee a lot of the things that changed in Israel because Christ's example.
Yeah, kind of. They were called Christians, kind
of. Kind of. It was his example.
Because they started following his example, kind of.
Kind of. That means the example is powerful. I didn't even, on my deathbed, I didn't even have to attack him. I just was the example. What's been speaking, what was written in that book the whole time was what he preached. It's how he dealt with the things he did. Well, we know it wasn't what Christ actually said. Because if it was based on what Christ said, we'd have a lot of farming tips. Here's the parable of the sower. Because the apostles had to come back and ask Christ, Christ, why did you speak to them in parable? It ain't for them to hear. It ain't for them. It's for you to understand. I speak to them in parable because really, honestly, Christ understood the parable is not what's motivating them. It's not what I'm saying. It's what I'm doing that's being remembered. Not just what I'm saying. It's what I'm doing. And the crazy thing is that you look at some of our elders out and you say, man, I don't remember a lot of what he said, but I do remember his character.
Huh.
So I look at Ariella. I don't remember. I can't remember too many of Ariella's classes. Unless I go back and look at notes. You know what I'm saying? But I can remember his character like it was yesterday. You know what I'm saying? I can remember his character like it was yesterday. The things he's done, the things he accomplished, how he did things. I can remember that like this, like he was standing right in front of me today. But I can't, I'm not going to sit there and tell you I can remember, you know, how he broke down Deuteronomy 28. I don't remember sitting in Ariella Deuteronomy 28 class. If it was High Priest Kazak, or if it was High Priest Yeshaya, you know what I'm saying? Or if it was any of the other elders, I can't tell you, I can't remember the classes unless I go back and try to check the notes, but I can remember the character. I can remember the man and how he carried himself like it was yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Those are the things that can never be forgotten. The character of a person can never be forgotten. That is what's going to speak for us as Israelites. Our character.
Yeah.
I don't know how long this is supposed to go, Bashama.
the Lady Vince said something.
That's
a message.
Oh, we already had the countdown already.
Yeah, try it.
Hey, you know what? Listen, you know what we can do? So we can continue this tomorrow. I ain't got no problem with it. You know what I'm saying? Because we ain't even got just the scriptures of the meat. If you need it, I'm down
for tomorrow. Tomorrow morning.
Let's do tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Thursday, right?
Tomorrow's Thursday.
Yeah, let's do it tomorrow morning.
Yep.
Thursday morning. We'll do Blog Talk again Thursday morning. Part two of the Will of the Most High, man. This time we'll have three more scriptures because we were able to take today and at least get a good foundation of what we want to build on. You know what I'm saying? This will be a series for a while. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of the things that we're reading in that book, we're seeing, man, it's not just what we're reading. It's the character of the men that were in the book, the character of the brothers and the sisters that was in that book is what we're supposed to be patterned after. Let's pattern after this person's character. Let's pattern after David's character. I ain't supposed to just fight to be a part of the group. I'm supposed to pattern myself like this man, like this woman. That's why they're there. That's why it was written for. This has to become more than just being accepted. So what's the purpose of everything we're reading if I'm only just going to be accepted by the group that I'm involved with at this time? And then when me and that group don't see eye to eye, I find another group that I'm trying to be accepted by.
Yeah.
We got to do better. So tomorrow we definitely continue this.
Brother, as soon as this ends, I'm going to set the class up tomorrow. It's done.
All right, come. So go ahead and close this out, man.
All right. So with that, whether you cut us on the live show or you catch on the archive, the water for that. And we will continue this. So today is Wednesday, December 15th. We will have show episode number 954 tomorrow.
Damn.
At this same time. As we're on our way. That's one thing I did announce, so I don't know if you heard. But March 22nd, 2010, is when we did the very first Blog Club show.
Wow.
So this March, I'm sorry?
You said 2010?
Time. So this March will be 12 years.
That's bad. That's a hell of a call.
So right around the time of Purim, well, we're going to see if we can get it matched up to where right around the time of Purim, because Purim is March 14th, we could probably have our 1,000th episode and the beginning of our 12th year all at the same time.
God. Hey, you know what I like about that, too? We get to thank all the brothers over the 12 years, you know what I'm saying, that have contributed, you know what I'm saying, from the, if it's Tyler Pipe, Cole Cox, that have went, and there's a lot of shows that this brother did in Spanish, he did in, you know what I'm saying, that you can go to the archives, and you're like, man, find Spanish shows, we can find, goes in depth to everything, even yourself, Masaba, to keeping it going every week through when it ain't, even when it ain't, Masaba, even when it's not popular. Stick with the theme we're using. It ain't always accepted. It ain't always popular, but it went out, and it still went out every week. It never missed a week. You know what I'm saying? Unless somebody else always picked it up. If it was once a week, the Tyler Parr went, when we couldn't get to it, he was faithful. And the Most High honor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If it was different languages, it's always been faithful. Other brothers for a while. Colossians was on there for a while. You know what I'm saying? That we've had
true
to come in and now do these things, like we were able to keep it faithful. So, I mean, we can't number. Thank the Most High, man, and you know, it's a heck of an accomplishment. It's a heck of an accomplishment, you know.
Yeah.
So with that, man, I guess we'll get ready
so with
for
that,
tomorrow,
then. Everybody. Yeah, well, for tomorrow. Any questions? Please don't hesitate to hit us up 210-784-8463. You reach Bonabot. Don't forget to visit the store over there. I forget the name of the store. You got to hit me up.
Yeah, EO Pure Therapy. It's called Eastern Oil
Pure Therapy.
It's so wrong for it. Right, in Rolling Oaks.
Go for it. Give a little commercial. Go ahead.
Oh, it's in Rolling Oaks Mall, man. I mean, of course, I does the soaps, the lotions, the body oils, to the body butters, to you name anything for the women. She have a nice. She do a lot of the sugar scrubs, you know, the bath salts. But she does a good job. You know what I'm saying? And they have the young girls that work over here. Yeah, Nayala and Akamaya and Sasha's over here and Asharaya. They all come in and they've been helping with the store. So we love to have everybody come out. You know what I'm saying? Support. You know. Definitely.
Yeah,
the boys.
Yeah,
we got CMOS. We got the CMOS tablet, the pills, the capsules. You get it in capsule form, or you can order it in the gel. And then the gel has fruit flavor. So you can get pineapple CMOS. You can get watermelon CMOS. You can get whatever fruit flavor you like, you can get that flavor in the CMOS and then put it in your shakes. So it's all coming on in. It's coming on together. So y'all welcome to come by. Everybody, the door's always open. And you're always welcome. You know how quite a shy I do when you come by. You may leave with a little more than you pay for, but that's what she did anyway.
True enough.
Con, con.
That charity win. So that charity win.
Con. So with that, we'll see everybody tomorrow then.
All right, Israel, shalom, shalom, man.
All right, shalom.